largest band somewhere because it's mature.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sarah X Dillon has been blocked due to a URL category violation. Category mature.
Rated M.
What's that?
The old movie rating for that was rated M.
M for mature.
Subject line of this email is breast holes.
Oh.
Wait, hold on.
I really am actually rated kind of M. confused by that.
About? Now, when you say you're confused by how breastfeeding works.
Well, I mean, I'm not confused by how it works, but I mean, like, now, when do the holes appear? Where does the milk come from?
Hold on. We should say right now that we're discussing this in a... This is a medical issue.
This is the 4-H Club of the Air.
No, and now look. Now, I would say, of the... And I don't have any figures to back this up, but I would say, of the people in this country who are of child have an age, I would say the bulk of them, and I mean bulk in every sense, by the way, they do have children or are planning to have children. I would say probably 70% of the people in this country who are in a position to be having children, which means that they are married or otherwise in some sort of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And a great many people who are not in a relationship are also having children. This, despite the fact that it does not personally affect us on the show, it does affect this country as perhaps no other issue. So discussing things of a child having and weaning or whatever... You know, whatever. Discussing those things is very important sociologically.
Why, just today, Clay Aiken says, I want to be a father and have children.
You sure he just doesn't want to be somebody's daddy?
That's what he says in his new interview in People magazine.
Okay. I'm just saying, this is a thing that is part of our commitment to operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. It's mandated by the federal government. This is a thing that needs discussing. So, here... Here's the thing. Well, I'll just read the email.
Okay.
This is from, I'm unclear, it's a gender-neutral name, so I'm unclear about whether it's from a man or a woman. Tell Sarah she already has the requisite holes.
Oh, God, now I'm kind of grossed out.
Oh, I'm not. I think that's fantastic. Oh, wait, let me just, thank you. Please tell Sarah. She already has the requisite holes for the feeding. The mammaries.
Okay. I don't want to know anymore.
Are a specialized form, Sarah. What kind of gland would you suspect that they are?
Mammary?
No. But they. Mammaries are. Now, they are.
I don't care. Just get through it.
Now, look. This is a really the more you.
I feel like I just tuned into The View. Where's Rosie O'Donnell?
No. Now, you have mammary glands. You specifically and also you and your sisters in a generalized sense. They are a specialized form, he says, of sweat gland.
That just produce milk instead of sweat?
Go sweat out some milk for the baby.
Oh, gross.
By the way, he says, be careful. There are some prescription medications that is a side effect. Cause spontaneous lactation.
What?
Wait. In both women and men. And then he signs it, have a great day. Signed Sam, P.S. Stringy Milk.
Oh.
Thank you. All right, there. Here's Tim Riley. Wait, no. No? Is it for here? Been waiting? Ladies and gentlemen, here's the man you've all really been waiting for.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
God.
This is Tim Riley.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez took a verbal battle with the U.S. to the floor of the U.N. today, calling the president, quote, the devil, end quote. Through an interpreter, Chavez threw insults at the president.
And the devil came here yesterday. Yep. Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here. Okay, and it smells of sulfur still today.
That's genius. Maybe I'm not a learned man.
We know you are.
No, I'm really not.
Because you're here, I mean, every day you must be more learned than the average person.
Well, yeah, but really, what does that take? Really, really, I know garden slugs that are more, learned than the average person. What is it that we, this is Venezuela?
Yeah.
When I was a child, I would get Venezuela and Valenzuela mixed up, by the way. What is it we've done to Venezuela, like, lately? I mean, have we done something to them? Did we throw an election or something down there recently?
Not recently.
Okay, but I mean...
It's one of the few we didn't.
But I mean, what are they... I mean, look, I'm not saying they don't have reasons. I'm just saying, I don't know. What are they all pissed off for?
I don't know.
Well,
I've never spoken to a Venezuelan about it.
We'll ask Gary Baumgarten.
Through an interpreter, Chavez says the president is in need of a psychiatrist.
The devil
vino aquí,
came here.
Hablando como dueño del mundo.
Talking as if he owned the world. I think we could call a psychiatrist to analyze yesterday's statement
de los Estados Unidos.
Made by the president of the United States.
Are we really sure that this is... She's not goofing with this. Are we sure that this is an accurate translation?
We don't know. Mm-hmm.
That the president actually called George Bush the devil... And said that he needs a psychiatrist, because if so, this really is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
We got a couple more here.
Fantastic. No, I'm looking at the whole bank full of Chavez cuts here.
Yeah. Chavez says the United States is not a true democracy.
It's the false democracy of elites. And I would say a very original democracy that's imposed by weapons and bombs and firing weapons. What a strange democracy.
I'm voting for this guy for the next president. I don't care. What's his name? Hugo Chavez?
Uh-huh.
I'm voting for him in 2008. Finally.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, because Jen Lane just sent me a message, and it said Hugo Chavez 2008.
That's totally, yeah.
You guys are on the same
line. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting the bumper stickers made right now. Fantastic.
Hugo Chavez says the president looks at the color of somebody's skin to decipher the type of person they are.
This is... Okay, this is genius. This really is...
One thing that he did do, I know he did, was... to make sure that people who could not afford oil in New England got oil courtesy of his government.
Yeah. Wait, who?
Hugo Chavez.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This is, I gotta say, he said nothing I disagree with so far.
Wherever he looks, he sees extremists. And you, my brother, he looks at your color and he says, oh, there's an extremist.
Hugo Chavez says the president is living a nightmare.
I have the feeling, dear world dictator, that you are going to live the rest of your days as a nightmare. Because the rest of us are standing up. All those of us who are rising up against American imperialism, who are shouting for equality.
Okay.
It's the greatest thing ever.
It really, but it's just fascinating on like 100 levels. First of all, it's not, the way she's reading it, it sounds like some... sort of really weird, bizarre bedtime
like from
story.
Like Radio Moscow.
Totally. Well, yeah, like a, what's her name, Tokyo Rose?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, yeah. Attention, GIs, your wives are at home getting it on with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. While you fight for imperialist colonialism. That's what she sounds really, I mean, I'm not saying that she's a fellow traveler. I think she's just an interpreter. But she just sounds so pleasant and lilting. She also has, and I know that when you're an interpreter, and I have a friend of mine who was a governmental interpreter for a while, she said the whole thing is you got to keep your voice very neutral. And she said that, she told me that it's a common, when you see in a movie, the one thing that they usually get right is that it, no matter how angry the person is, that is speaking, like if you're the president or Mao Zedong or somebody, that the interpreter is never supposed to convey tone, because obviously you can see what the tone is by looking at the original speaker. The interpreter's tone must always be very neutral, and she's got a full-on, like, howl thing going on here. There's a lot of, like, I'm sorry, Mr. President, you can't do that. That is really genius. Oh, wait, we've got people here.
Wow.
Now, I'm the first to look at all these people suddenly concerned about politics and holes.
We can go back to talking about teenagers and tigered if they don't like it.
No, here's the... You're a bad person, Tim Riley. You are a very bad person. What was my point?
People are excited about politics.
No, I'm just going to say... Yes, and breast milk. I'm going to say, and I give them both of those things. Not literally. I will say this now... that I don't pretend to know nothing about nothing. So it's quite possible, as we're praising Hugo Chavez, I don't know, he may have killed millions of people. I don't know. It's quite possible.
He sounds pretty awesome.
He does sound like a man who could get things done, though, doesn't he?
At least he's not afraid to have an opinion.
Sounds like a man who means business. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I watched that speech this morning live. Dude, I shouldn't be calling on my own phone and saying this, but... I was literally jumping up and down in my living room.
What a sad state of affairs it is in this country. When we're jumping up and down that some guy from another country is calling out our president and challenging him to a fist fight.
You know what? What's sad is that maybe scary or both is that if you listen to the replays, you can hear at least half the assembly laughing and totally...
Oh, you can hear it right here. Listen to when he says, and this is Hugo Chavez, who is the president of Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Listen to when he talks about the devil was here this morning. And he's talking about George Bush. You can hear the laughter. I'll play this here.
And the devil came here yesterday. Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here.
Get it right there.
And
here we go.
Of sulfur.
You know why? What he's so mad
sulfur.
About?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go way into it, but I've done my homework on this guy, and the long story short, if you do your homework, you can find out by reading up, but the long story short is that this guy is not willing to play the same games with his natural resources, such as oil, that most of the people in the world are, a.k.a. making his available at the same price as easily that other...
Hold on. I can see the future now. Wait, I can see the future. Venezuela is working on nuclear technology, and we may... Wait, hold on, I'm getting something. It rhymes with inade... Invade? Wait, we may need to invade.
And it could be invade. It could.
Yes, it could.
I'll tell you what, man. He's just as big a target as that guy over in Iran because he won't play games, and I don't blame him, frankly. I mean, the guy's... I'm scared to admit it on my own phone line, but he's right on the ball, man. The guy rocks.
Here's going to be the sound at your house later today, Mike. This is going to be you. Hello, sir. We'd like to have a word with you. And you're going to open it, and there's just going to be some guy with a bag and a baton. That's going to be it.
I spend the most of the day in my car driving that way.
Get ready for the truncheon. Seriously. And look, here's the thing. And I'm not saying anything anybody didn't know. But, look, I am not a paranoid person. If you compare me to, like, the real...
I wouldn't either. Yeah. Not for the current administration, I wouldn't be either, but...
Yeah, all things being equal, we are not conspiracy freaks on the show. I think the government...
I just think that's
by way of saying this, that I was actually on the phone with somebody. I won't say who it is, Susan Reynolds. But I was on the phone with Susan Reynolds from marketing the other day, and we were talking about something or other, and we made some joke, a joke in which the word... I don't know. I was joking about, well, blah, 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 you know, revolution, blah, 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 blah. And then we both laughed and we both said the same thing. And we're like, hello, CIA, if you're listening in.
Yeah,
the number of people I know who jokingly during phone calls with me have jokingly referred to, oh, and whoever else may be listening to this call is really unnerving because that kind of humor indicates that underneath all the jokes, there really is a deep-seated belief in America that the government is just listening to every single thing we do.
Yeah, it's going into your permanent file.
It really is.
And this is kind of off-subject, but I tried to call yesterday and had to hang up. I wanted to tell you that the meat pimps have been to my door, too.
The meat pants?
Pimps. The meat pimps. The guys with the truck.
I'm a van full of meat. Would you like some?
They start off by convincing you that you're lucky because they've got this wonderful meat that they normally only deliver to exclusive, like, restaurants and whatnot, but some sort of mistake happens.
Now, normally this kind of meat would be in the refrigerator somewhere, but it's your lucky day.
Hands on it, but I'm here and this is your lucky day.
But I interest you in some room temperature ham.
It's been here, like, probably 5 times in the last 2 years.
All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, take it easy.
All right, there you go. That's Mike. Well, we'll get some more of these here in a second. Do we have more?
We do. Senator Saxby Chambliss. I have no idea what sexist person might be.
I don't know.
Said the American people should be upset that someone from another country has come into America and insulted her.
And you have a guy coming in.
Oh, I think we know all we need to know about this person. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll play it again, though, but I think a second and a half in, we know what we need to know.
And you have a guy coming in here, calling him all sorts of names, really making somewhat threats, saying these really awful things about our president. I would have been very disgusted.
All right. Yeah, well, be disgusted, friend.
Meanwhile, a Republican Ohio senator claims the president of Iraq is just like Hitler.
For some reason, Ahmadinejad, I call him Ahmadinejad, I think he's a hit.
What?
I don't know. I think that was
a comparison to Hitler.
I think it's supposed
to
be a joke.
For some reason, Ahmadinejad, I call him Ahmadinejad, I think he's a Hitler type of person.
I don't know.
He wants to destroy Israel. He's made it clear he doesn't believe in a Holocaust. We all know what he is.
Okay. Well, you know, whatever. I mean, the president of Iran, I will say this, is really, really entertaining. Not as entertaining as our new best friend, Hugo Chavez, but he's entertaining. Now, the president of Iran, I mean, he clearly is a nutcase. I mean, he clearly is just some redneck, anti-Semitic a-hole. But, I mean, he's sort of entertaining the way that, like Bruno Kirby used to be in all of his movies. Kind of a short guy, sort of stout, looks like he's about 5 seconds away from starting a bar fight and putting a broken bottle through somebody's neck. All right. Let's see. Oh, wait, hold on. I have to find the...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George, hello, sir.
You've hit on it for me. This is... Chavez is... there are four gods in my pantheon. One of them, of course, the chief one being Tim Riley.
Yes.
Then Sarah Dillon, in order. Then yourself. And then Hugo Chavez.
Okay, I mean this sincerely now, and I know I just said the same thing 5 minutes ago, but what? How sad is this? Really, our hero now is a guy from another country who's telling us that our president sucks and is the devil.
Yeah, he's the only one that's going to tell you. We attempted to overthrow him in 2003. There's a great documentary called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
Oh, yeah, okay. I saw that on the shelf once, and then I got something with Rob Schneider. And stuff.
Right. It's called also Chavez Inside the Coup. And basically, they hate him so much because he's going to undersell OPEC, and he's providing free heating oil to people on the East Coast of the United States.
Now, Tim said that, but I didn't understand really what you were talking about.
Well, he's you know, there's a lot of low-income people like the Katrina-type demographic of income that have no help from our own government, of course, because we're too busy expanding the goddamn empire. So Chavez said, well, I'll take care of you. He also volunteered to help clean up Katrina. He also volunteered to send 1,000 doctors into New Orleans. He was turned away. The guy's a living savior for us all. He's also doing something that's really smart. He just signed a $3 billion arms deal with the Russians to import whole entire factories to build AK-47s in his own country.
This is all going to end so badly. This is all going to end in blood.
And the Russians do make good weapons.
Oh, that's one of the few things
that they make that work.
Absolutely. That's the thing, here's the
vodka and guns.
I was just going to say, if you need stuff to kill people, call up the Russians, call up the Israelis.
The AK is an outstanding weapon. You can submerge it in mud for a month, pick it up and start shooting. And so the guy's signing deals for AKs, RPGs, the whole nine yards. Is going to need to defeat the empire.
All right. I think we need to be. Let's all take a vacation to Venezuela and learn, and get some friends there who we can live with someday when the revolution comes.
And another thing that Aminajad never. That was a piece of propaganda that he said that Israel must be pushed into the sea.
He was
saying that the current leaders of Israel need to be changed out.
Well,
he never said that. That's just total propaganda.
Let's not all gild the lily here too much. I think we all know that probably 9 out of 10 people who live in that region of the world have some bizarre, irrational hate for Israel.
Well,
that is also
true. Then you're buying into the propaganda that, don't believe a liar, Rick. If I lied to you 3 times, you're going to believe me the 4th time?
I'm just saying there's a reason why Israel has to, arm themselves to the teeth.
Maybe because in 1947 they pushed out like 750,000 people.
Hold on.
You're breaking up.
No, I can't hear you.
Okay,
there you go. Thank you.
You know what else I heard about Iran? They don't use toilet paper. They use brushes.
And bark.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Seriously, save the I'm a tool of the Zionist state phone calls.
The president should be able to say something nice after all this negativity. Would you not agree?
Wait, hold on. Oh, I wish I'd known you were going to say that. I would have had some embarrassing George Bush clip. What's that, Tim?
The president should be able to say something nice after all this negativity.
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
That's the best I could do in certain
ways. So, for number 3 we have here, the president envisions for the troubled Middle East, raising children in peace and hope.
I assure you that our government wants to work with you in order so that you're capable of delivering the vision that so many Palestinians long for.
Trying to put food on your family. All right. That's fantastic. Well,
that's a Bush watch.
There's your Bush watch. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, sound bites are fantastic. Rick, says this email. I know that Scotty J. Sounders are generally nonsensical and borderline retarded. But why in the world does Scotty's new milking sounder include an engine noise and an electronic beep? Why? What is going on here? I don't know the answer to that. It's 503-733-2970. Yes? How you doing?
Too much breastfeeding.
Oh, we got people on hold waiting to talk to you, though. Look at this. Janice, all kinds of whole answers.
And is that a dumb question?
I guess we'll find out.
I guess so.
Okay.
I haven't really given it much thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you're going to give it more than you ever wanted to. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now
New York City
to the Rick Emerson Show. From New York City, a man, a living God, a reporter among all others, Gary Baumgarten joining us now from the Big Apple. How are you, sir?
I am terrific, and how are you?
Are you really terrific?
I am, actually, yeah.
Because let me ask you this, because some days are better than others for you, for me, for everybody. Why are you terrific, Gary Baumgarten?
It's a beautiful day. It's 71 degrees. There's only a few clouds in the sky. Not too humid. It's just a great day.
Here's the thing about New York weather, and just based on my limited experience there, is that there is sort of a window of time in which it's very, very pleasant, and then it's either like ass cold or just really unbelievably meltingly hot. So you're in the pleasant window.
I have a friend who lives in Florida, and he came up during the winter, and he said, "This reminds me why I moved from New York. I can't stand the winter." And so he says, "I'll come back in the summer."
Yeah.
He cut his trip short. He came back in the summer. He says, "I can't stand the heat and the stench of all the garbage on the streets. This reminds me why I left New York."
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, the one time I was in New York during the winter, it was just, man, it was, I don't talk about the weather all, but I can tell you, it was really like cold beyond all comprehension.
The streets act as wind tunnels, you know, with the tall buildings.
Exactly. There's a whole lot of stuff swirling around George W. Bush right now. He's having a busy and, I would say, bad week. He was at, I can never figure out, and I know that this is like a more in-depth subject than we really have time for, but I can never really figure out for the life of me our relationship, and when I say our, I mean the United States, our relationship to the UN. Because, I mean, doesn't this seem like we, and when I say we, I mean the administration, in the personage of Bush or Bolton or any of those people, we're pushing the UN away with one hand all the time, and then we're going and talking to them and being their pal the rest of the time. I don't understand whether the U.S. is in partnership with the UN or not.
Well, given what happened today, it doesn't sound it, because Hugo Chavez spoke today, the president of Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. We've just spent a long time talking about him.
Yesterday.
Yeah, no, we've just spent several segments here talking about Mr. Chavez. He had quite a mouthful.
And they applauded him, you know? So, you're right. It's like a love-hate relationship with the United Nations.
And so
much love lately.
Well, that's the thing. We have this Hugo Chavez clip where he referred to George Bush as the devil. And if you listen, the amazing thing was you could hear like half the house applauding him. We are in a really strange time right now.
Really diplomatic, isn't it? The United Nations is supposed to be a house of diplomats. We have the opening of the General Assembly. That means we have heads of state and foreign ministers sitting where the ambassadors to the UN normally sit, and hear all these diplomats cheering such a statement. You know, whether you agree with the U.S. policy or not, whether you like President Bush or not, I mean, this isn't the way to reach understanding between nations.
Well, you know what this reminds me of a little bit, although I was not around to see when it originally happened. But this hearing these Chavez cuts today, it reminds me of that Khrushchev banging his shoe and saying, "We will bury you."
Yep, exactly. Same kind of thing.
I mean, it's very much...
Or Fidel taking a gun into the General Assembly with him, you know, that kind of thing.
I think it was...
Like, come on.
And I'm unsure about whether it happened at the UN or not. I know Khrushchev banging his shoe happened at the UN, but and Khrushchev also had that, you know, said that your grandchildren will live under communism. I mean, he was just a guy that just, verbally speaking, just took no prisoners. And this Chavez guy who I think really has just kind of come out of nowhere for most of us. This all seems to be building to something. I mean, a guy doesn't do this kind of stuff unless he's got... You know what it is? Here's the thing with this Hugo Chavez, all of these statements he made today. It's like in Hollywood, where, like, Matthew Perry, for example, will go months and nobody hears from him. And then suddenly, the news is full of interviews and statements by Matthew Perry, and it's always because he's got a new movie coming out, he's got it, whatever. They publicists in advance of the event start leaking out interviews, or they start scheduling interviews with him to build anticipation for then his new show, his new whatever. So Hugo Chavez here, who I don't think has been given to this kind of thing in the past, is suddenly out with all of this stuff. And so the question is, like for what reason? Is this, I mean, is there a thing that's going to happen that we're not aware of? Or?
Well, it's pretty complicated. But Hugo Chavez is the guy who's prompting up the Castro regime quite a bit in Cuba. And, you know, he's Cindy Sheehan's best friend, or she's his best friend now. And remember, I don't know if you remember, but last winter, he offered home heating oil to people
right.
in the Northeast
right.
and all this kind of stuff. And now what isn't very well reported is that there's some kind of an arms deal that he has going with Russia.
Somebody
and
had...
Like, well, why was Russia providing Hugo Chavez with arms? And, you know, it's been told to me by analysts that Chavez is going to now sell those arms to other nations in Central and South America. And so now we have another continent that's going to be destabilized potentially. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There are a lot of despots. There's no question about it.
Well, you know, the thing, I saw a fantastic movie a few months back called Lord of War with Nicolas Cage. A really, really great, really, not perfect, but really good movie. And, yep. you know, and it really, we do live, if you view the world, they always say the world is getting smaller. And I remember George W. Bush made some comment about Saddam Hussein at one point as we were getting ready to go in and look for Saddam. And he said, well, you know, he was some one of those folksy comments that Bush makes where he said, well, Saddam's a bad guy and you got to clean up the neighborhood somehow. And the thing is, we live in a if you want to view this whole world as one neighborhood, I mean, like every third house now is just armed to the teeth. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and by the way, that was a wonderful movie. It was based on a true character who actually walked away from the federal indictment.
Yeah.
Because he was selling arms to everyone through everyone.
Yeah.
You know, through a complicated. I mean, it was really very. You know, it's a great movie because it shows how all this stuff is going on the international scene. So yeah, it's tough times, but, you know, the propaganda machines are ratcheted up now against the United States. You know, some of what is being said, the criticism of the United States, is probably justified and warranted, but a lot of it is untrue. Well, they don't have to tell the truth when they attack the United States. So now the United States, not just Bush, I mean, Bush just personifies the United States. Now the United States is the great Satan.
Well,
and they just tell the big lie over and over again. It's not a good time at all.
Speaking of the great Satan, that's a phrase for a long time we associated with the late Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran.
That's right. We threw that out towards the other side. The United States is bad.
Is this guy who's the president of Iran, is he just crazy? He seems really nutty.
Well, you know, I went to a rally today. It was a pro-Israeli, anti-Iran rally, huge rally across from the United Nations. And there were some people, pretty, you know, astute, good thinkers, who said, look, he may be a nutcase, but people dismissed Hitler as a nutcase, too, and didn't pay attention to him. And I talked to two women who are survivors. They were in Auschwitz. And, you know, they say that Ahmadinejad is Hitler as well, and they get the same vibes coming from him that they got from Hitler before they were tossed, you know, and you know, they lost all their families, and I mean, it was heartbreaking to talk to them. So you're right, it's a very, very tough world, and it's hard to get people together to take the moral high ground, and sometimes you wonder what the moral high ground is, because you wonder about, well, what are the back deals that are going on that are prompting the decisions that are being made. Very difficult to follow.
It's a nutty place, my friend. All right, Gary. Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's a good time to be you because you're right there in the middle of the maelstrom. So, all right, Gary, we will touch you soon. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy your New York weather. I already had you. I had you have a bagel for me. Have like one. You know, there's this place by Madison Avenue where they sell these cinnamon rolls that are like the size of a tire. So just have a large and fattening New York pastry for me, my friend.
Sounds great.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Is this Clyde Lewis? It's not. It says Clyde, not Lewis. Well, we're already done with Gary. Clyde, not Lewis. Hello, sir.
Clyde, not Lewis, on the same side. I got a question for you. Every time Bush wants somebody to be the demon, he comes up with the analysts say that this guy's got guns. Well, who in the hell are these analysts? Aren't they the ones that said we had weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah,
give me a break. Hey. I mean, and Pat Robertson's the moral majority or moral whatever moron he is. He's the one that called for the CIA to assassinate Chavez, the head of a sovereign country.
That's when he's not busy praying for U.S. Supreme Court justices to die.
Who are we to say that this guy's any nuttier? I'm saying watch the guy, but my God, every time you turn around, a U.S. analyst is saying, you know, hell, I've got a gun somewhere or somebody.
Oh, man, everybody's got guns. That's the thing. That's the thing about this world. And again, people accuse me of being really fatalistic or nihilistic or whatever, but you know what? Everybody's got guns. Everybody's got weapons. Everybody hates everybody else. Everybody wants to destroy all the other countries. It's just a question of who admits it and who doesn't. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but this guy's helped more people than Bush has ever thought about helping. And unfortunately, Bush is our president, and unfortunately, we got to put up with him for another umpteen years. Chavez for president. Go for it.
You can already sense the wave. There you go. That's Clyde, not Lewis. Jesus. Man, it's like we pricked some sort of a thing. That you pray. I don't know. It's a thing. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's deviate from this momentarily. Wait, where's my sound bank here? You know, someday I'm going to get a better sound bank. Let's, with the... Hello, Janice.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson. I know you've been very patient. Thank you for holding. How can you help Sarah today?
Well, since I have two children that I love dearly, I just wanted you guys to be... I'm disgusted by birthing and nursing myself, and I've done them both.
I don't know that's going to happen, but I will say, so people know, we do care about the public, and again, we do operate in the public interest.
And I like my friend's kids.
Convenience and necessity, and this is a medical issue that affects a great, great number of Americans, sociologically, right. Medically. So, Sarah's
and I only speak medically, but I had to discuss you guys too, I've had to go through it. So.
So Sarah's got questions, you've got answers.
I don't have any questions. I was curious about...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just curious about the lactating. Yeah,
Sarah said she didn't know where the holes came from.
Okay, so they're called milk ducts, first of all.
Ducts, D-U-C-T-S?
Correct.
Okay.
And the holes... as you call them, you know there's a thing, you know what the areola is, correct?
Yeah.
The brown part of the nipple.
Okay.
That gets quite large when you get pregnant. The holes are all throughout the areola, so you have tons of little holes on that whole area.
Really?
Oh, so it's not on the...
Not just the tip.
It's like you're perforated.
It is. It is exactly...
You know what it is? Here's what it is. It's like the breast is a big colander.
I had no
lovely.
Idea.
It is. It's like a tip.
Lovely. I'm just saying.
So is it not out of the top?
It comes out of the tip as well, but the tip itself has several little holes. So the tip has lots of holes, and the whole areola itself
Holes. So they're not unlike pores, that you don't always see them, but they are there.
That's exactly right. And they are there for a long time because you start getting them while you're pregnant. And I didn't stop. This is really going to disgust you.
All right, well.
I didn't stop producing milk until... over a year and a half after I stopped nursing my last kid.
Really? So doesn't your body know that you're not using it anymore?
I don't know.
That's like if I stop picking the milk up from the porch, the Schwann's guy cop stops bringing it.
That's right.
your porch had milk put there every morning.
So did you have to get rid of the milk?
Did you have to otherwise expel
or does it
the,
just hang out in there?
Or does it
okay,
just...
It just sort of hangs out in there. It doesn't come out as flowingly as it does when you're actually nursing. I'm very open sexually, so I'll say it. I can't imagine how my husband must have felt during that time.
I would imagine confused and perhaps a little oogie. Let me ask you this. I hate to ask this.
Sure you do.
I know I really do. So when you are a mother who is, you are giving sustenance to a newborn... I hate to ask this. Do you make sloshing noises when you walk around? No, I mean, if you have a big bucket of water and you're walking around with it, hello?
Okay, so it's not when it's actually inside your breast.
Yes.
It's not sloshy. So if you felt, speaking medically only, if you felt a breast full of milk,
yes.
It's very hard. It's not squishy.
All right, okay. We're going to end this now. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. There you go. Children are from heaven. See?
That's crazy.
No, listen. This is a thing that affects people.
I had no idea.
Because you say,
because I have the breasts. And
who knows? You are capable of having children. You say you do not.
I will not.
Do not want them. But I'm just saying, one never knows how the universe operates. And so it is good that we keep our listeners informed.
What everyone says.
And Sarah Dillon, it's really, you know, knowing is half the battle.
I don't want my breasts to be spongy. I'm just still scarred. I told you my friend Kim Brewer, her sister Debbie, would chase us around and support
us. Okay. All right. Let's end that.
That's all. She got some distance on those things.
Oh. Hi, Tim. I used to write late at the city desk.
Oh, it was so awkward.
I don't know what to say. I mean, what story could possibly fit conveniently after this?
There's really no natural segue. There really is no transition.
Portland attorney no longer representing Dr. Death.
Well, okay.
Former surgeon facing potential charges of death of patients in Australia is no longer being represented by Oregon attorney and his Australian counterpart. Dr. Jayant Patel had retained Stephen Hoos. A Portland attorney who had defended a number of high-profile clients to represent him, and now he's quit the job. So Dr. Death needs a lawyer.
All right, it's a long way to go for a joke.
It is. Meanwhile, he was the Princess Diana of Australia. We're talking about Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. More than 5,000 people attended a memorial service yesterday. Their Prime Minister John Howard, this is cut number 4, and said Steve Irwin had done a great job to create understanding in the animal world.
Is this bank...
B, number 4.
Cut 4.
He brought two Australians into the world an understanding of nature. He taught our children in particular to love and respect all creatures, great and small.
Did you hear his daughter speaking? It was good because the mom, I mean, it was kind of great and sad. The mom, Terry Irwin, she's all broken up, and she wouldn't talk. She was didn't really have the composure to speak at the funeral. Do we have it? Bless you. Is it 0920 Irwin daughter?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll find it here because Terry Irwin wasn't able to speak, but man, the daughter did.
She's 8 years old.
She was great. Oh, is it 0920 Irwin daughter 2?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me find this here. Listen to how great, if this is the clip, I've not previewed this. Listen, she's 9, right?
She is 8.
8? Listen to how... You talk about a girl, you can see her career in television already. We have the next generation of Crocodile Hunter television hosts right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the 8-year-old daughter of Steve Irwin.
I have the best daddy in the whole world, and I will miss him every day. When I see a crocodile, I will always think of him, and I know that daddy made this zoo so everyone could come and learn to love all the animals.
I mean...
No.
She sounds like she's ready for a TV news gig. I mean, just put her right behind there and teach her to go, and now, sport, you know, and that's... Manchester United struggled through today in admirable fashion. She's ready, man. The wife couldn't even talk. The 8-year-old got up there with like a sheaf of papers in front of like 1,000 people and just let it out.
The wife was from Eugene.
Yeah, well, that explains it. All right.
So that's that.
Fantastic.
Oh, we do have number 5 here. Australian Prime Minister John Howard said Steve Irwin was a real Australian.
In everything he did, he was direct, he was genuine, and oh so Australian. And that is what we love
just to
so
say
much
drunk.
About him.
All right, there you go.
Well, other Australians beat the concierges with phones and stuff. Not so for Steve Irwin.
Okay. You never... Oh, good God. This guy says, hey, about this milk. The email says, good Lord, Rick. I feel like I just walked into my parents doing it. Best show ever, Andy. Well, there you go. Well, no, it's one of those... It is a weird thing to think about. That even though Sarah chooses not to have children, that you could. It's just... Does it feel weird to know that you have that power? And when I say power, I don't mean like you wield it, but I mean to know that you have that ability. It's a weird thing to know that you have the ability to, like, replicate yourself.
Well, yeah, without women, you know, the world would cease to exist.
Yes, that is true.
It is true.
All right.
I don't know. It is a neat thing to think about. I just don't.
Well, no, I mean, it's horrifying. Don't get me wrong. It's repellent in every way. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, who wants this children desperately? Clay Aiken. I would love to be a father. I would like to adopt. This is from the election.
I'd love to be a father, followed by what statement?
I would love to adopt. There's an orphanage not too far from my house, and I've been up there right before church. I have always thought.
Wait, hold on. It's almost
an orphanage near their house.
It's almost
on the way to church.
Does he live in Calcutta?
This is from Little House on the Prairie, I believe.
That is a good point. Who
the orphanage? The orphanage is right before the church on that set.
Is there like a one-legged boy ringing the bell out front while a guy's pumping water out of like a well?
I have often thought to myself, what happens to those kids who have the potential to go to college and can't afford it? I have been thinking a lot lately about finding a way to pay for one of those kids to go to college. This is from People Magazine.
Also about buying a teal car.
He also denies rumors he's gay.
I'm just going to say there's the, I'd love to have children, I'd love to adopt, I'm still single, I think about it on my way to church.
Keanu Reeves did this whole same thing before his last movie came.
It's like some sort of a Mad Libs thing for those guys. All right. Fantastic. Excellent. Go, Clay Aiken.
At the orphanage on the way to church.
They're in an orphanage. I don't even. Do they even
that
have.
That sounds like out of a country song, doesn't it?
Do they have orphanages anymore?
I don't know.
I saw it on a little Burma Shave sign. The orphanage on the way to church. Take a left at the dirt road.
Please
do not disturb the horses.
Kids swinging on a tire out front. Oh, my God. All right.
Skinny dipping in the cement pond.
Oh, God. Really? Are you. Is this Aaron the Geek? Scotty, to the best of your knowledge, here on line 47 or whatever this is? No. Let me ask you this, Scotty. Hold on. You know, okay, I'm going to pick up. Okay, put it back on hold. I'm going to pick this up. All right. Hey, Aaron?
Yeah.
Hey, is this Aaron the Geek?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I couldn't tell. Wait, hold on. Let me find the.
Help me.
Okay, you have to do the no part live. Go.
Right, what?
You have to do the no part live.
No!
All right.
That sums up.
That's a loser.
I'm looking at the screen here. Is this, was this out of the refrigerator?
No, it was,
Was this from the tap?
This was, no.
Oh.
Hot, no.
How, where was it?
This was many, many years ago, and the story is just going to get better. This was many years ago, when I was still a church-going youth.
Uh-huh.
And I used to go to, my parents took me to this really terrible, like, hippie Jesus freak church.
Uh-huh.
And the pregnant women would go in the back and pump and leave it in a cup.
Oh, my God, man.
Leave it in the back.
Why are you calling?
Leave it, leave it in a cup for the Lord.
And pumping for the Lord, yes.
Pumping for the Lord.
Pumping when the sermon was done, they would have coffee and cake and whatnot.
Pumping for Christ.
Even then, I drank coffee, but I had to put cream in it. And I didn't know. I just reached for the cup that was there.
Oh.
It was just disgusting.
Now,
it was salty.
How many?
It was what?
It was salty.
You're sure it was milk? You're sure it wasn't a cup of something else left for Jesus? Clay Aiken hadn't been there, had he?
Not to my knowledge.
How many, let me ask you this. How many mouthfuls into the coffee cup did you get before you knew?
It took one solid gulp before I was finished.
One solid gulp, and was it just more of a taste thing?
It was, taste and then a strange texture, but that just could have been a hippie coffee.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Aaron?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a hair stuck in my teeth right here.
Thank you very much.
Hold on.
Hey, also tell Sarah that it's been reported that women of birth and age, if they hang around hungry babies too long, they will begin to lactate.
That is not true.
Okay,
that's it. I'm sticking a hair in your drink tonight.
I'm not going to be there.
Oh, we'll find you. Okay. All right. What you should not do is send pictures of loose hairs to Aaron.
Aaron at geekinthecity.com.
That would be wrong.
I hate you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. That's Aaron. I feel all dirty and unclean.
That's not true, is it?
You're asking me. Yeah, let's all synchronize periods, too. Here's Tim Riley.
Jackson County officials expect to hire a part-time cougar hunter soon.
Now, wait, where is this at?
Jackson County, Oregon.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry. Never mind. Nothing.
Cougars have become more brazen in their ways and caused $13,000 in damage within the Rogue River watershed. County commissioners are expected to approve a contract with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to provide $30,000 to hire a hunter to kill God's creatures.
And I'm sorry, I wasn't even really listening because I was distracted by people sending me photos of feeding. It's a cougar, and it's where?
Well, there are tons of cougars, and they're acting brazenly.
What are acting brazenly? They're cougars. They've got huge 6-inch teeth and claws. What are they supposed to do? Come up and, with a, and rattle a
well,
tin cup?
They're not supposed to bother white people who live there. The woods have been cleared of all these problems many years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You didn't tell me they were white people. That changes everything. I apologize. Okay.
So, yeah, they're causing all kinds of problems. They're becoming more brazen in their way, so they must be killed. That's America. No comment from Hugo Chavez over the hiring of the cougars.
Is Venezuela going to offer them jobs? Yeah, hunting things there? All right. The problem is the cougars were looking people in the eye. All right. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll...
Cameron Diaz is accusing a photographer of trying to run down her boyfriend slash singer.
Oh, so those weird photos you've got, where are those up yet?
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, go to rickemerson.com. And then, you can just go directly to sarahxdillon.com. And there's this huge, it's this great forced perspective photograph of Justin Timberlake where he looks massive. Have you seen this picture?
I have, yes.
He just looks gigantic next to Cameron Diaz. Is that the incident that where these photographs came from? Do you know?
It says Los Angeles police officer April Harding tells People magazine that Diaz filed a police report with their department last night. In it, Diaz claims she and Timberlake were leaving the Hollywood home of a friend when a paparazzi in the bushes tried to snap them. The couple then chased him for a short time. Diaz alleges he then got into his car and drove toward them, causing her to jump out of the way. She's now accusing him of assault with a deadly weapon.
That's such BS.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. If you don't have your photo taken, don't be famous.
Yeah, that's what I was reading about these. And I guess they were leaving a party. And, you know, the paparazzi were just out on the public street. And
it
Justin
is a public
Timberlake
street.
Flew into a rage. He tried to grab the guy's camera and smash it.
I'm looking at it right now, and he's lunging to the camera, but it's hard to take him seriously because he just looks so massive. And that's a bad hairstyle for her, by the way. She's got to ditch that black hair.
Well, she's just not a good-looking woman.
Cameron Diaz, no. Yeah. And again, you know, which is kind of refreshing.
There's not very much to her, is there?
No, there really isn't. She's not a woman of substance in any way. It's very refreshing in a strange way that he's with a woman who's ugly. And I know that a lot of guys find Cameron Diaz to be really hot. That's not true, at least in my estimation.
Her performance in Charlie's Angels was Oscar material.
I think and I don't mean this to sound crude, but I believe if she is viewed from the back, she's hot. I believe she has a nice bum, as they say in Britain, but I think that's about the extent of it. And even there, Charlotte Church? She's no Charlotte Church. All right. Oh, God. All right, this is the last one I'm going to read, and then we're going to break.
Is it about nipples?
What do you think? Isn't really everything on this show about nipples in some way? Rick, actually, it's true. My ex, this is from a man. My ex started producing milk when a friend of ours had a kid. She thought that she had a brain tumor or something.
So is it when they're pregnant or when they have kids?
He says, my ex started producing milk when a friend of ours had a kid and started breastfeeding. She thought she had a brain tumor or something. Now I sort of wish she had a brain tumor. That would have made my life better. Okay. Look at the time.
Yeah.
We've got a break. Okay. Let's break. Oh, thank you so much. There you go. That's what I needed. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I need a sponge of some kind and some scrubby stuff.
Maybe that Mary Kay fellow can bring one over.
Seriously. Hey, Scotty, did we get the Mary Kay guy? I had a whole bunch of... Christian's also interested in the facial treatment. Just let me know. Thank you. Hey, we're going to come back with the superhero stuff spot. You've been asking for it. You've needed it. You've demanded it. We'll talk superhero stuff when we get back. Later on, top five, and we will update the Encyclopedia Emersonia. The social distortion. You stay right there.